Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We at the Time to Leave movement are brothers and sisters who feel a strong desire to choose to live amongst ourselves. How have you chosen where you live? What is your criteria for living where you live now? Is it because that's where you went to school? Is it because that's where you got your job? You may be a person that loves your city because it's exciting, or if you're a young person, it's a lot of people and it's fast moving, or if you're an older person, it's quiet and secure. But what are your criteria for where you live now? And as Muslim followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan, what should be our criteria of choosing where we live? And should we be satisfied with where we live and the circumstances of where we live? He teaches us to, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is telling us to make our communities safe, productive societies. So that's what we need to be found doing. However, if we are unable to turn our current communities or societies or where we're living, if we're unable to control them to make a positive change, what should we do? Should we just stay there and let the years go by and complain and or hope that things are going to get better in the by and by? Or do we come amongst ourselves and say, hey, why don't we go someplace where we can actually control it? Can we go someplace where we can be the majority? And could we go someplace where we control the laws of the land, and can we change those laws of the land to our advantages? Is that something that's possible, or is that something that, you know, it's not going to happen until the hereafter? So we at the Time to Leave movement, we just have a different criteria for where we want to live. The criteria of where we want to live is a community with many like-minded Muslims as possible, and in a rural area where we can strive to control more of the food we eat and possibly build industry and business from the land. So it's really, you know, we just choose to live here. And that's the simple explanation of what the Time to Leave movement is all about. So tonight's show, Separation and Community Building, Separation Project Town Hall Meeting in Atlanta. This past Saturday, we were blessed to have the Separation Town Hall Meetings in the Southern Region at Atlanta Mosque number 15. It's my understanding that it was a dynamic weekend, and I really want to hear someone who was able to attend it give a description of what they, you know, what they actually participated in. Unfortunately, I was unable to make it, but I really would like to hear firsthand of somebody who attended to give us some highlights and some of the things that impacted them most. It's a blessing to have to be able to approach this task of separating and building community from all fronts. And so we need to do that. We need to take whatever skills, talents, abilities, interests, skills that we have, and we need to organize and pool them so that we can work toward getting our own societies and our own communities. If you're a lawyer like Sister Dr. Ava, she's utilizing her training, her skill to approach separation on the legal and political and awareness level. By traveling in these town halls, she initiates discussion, which creates awareness that Allah willing will create change in the minds of our people. So when the opportunity comes for us to have our own states and communities, our people will be thinking about that and we have an open mind for it. What is your skill, talent? Are you a business person? Are you in agriculture? Are you a city planner? Are you an organizer? What skills do you have to contribute toward community building? Whatever skills we have, we should be found putting those skills to use. So if you, on the line, if you had a chance to see Sister Dr. Ava in Atlanta this past weekend, please hit the 1, click 1 on your dial, and we will open your line. Or if you have a question or a comment about the Time to Leave movement, press that 1. And it looks like we have a caller. Caller with the last 4 digits, 2088. What is your name and where are you calling from? Caller with the last 4 digits, 2088. You press the number 1. Oh, they must have did it by accident because they dropped off. Okay. So we have somebody else that has a question or wants to make a comment. And regarding anything I may have said or to learn more about the Time to Leave movement, we're in South Georgia, very near the Muhammad Farms. And so it's our goal to build a community based on Muhammad Farms and around the Muhammad Farms. It's our goal to utilize the land that the Minister Farrakhan re-secured for us to use to our benefit. And speaking of Muhammad Farms, here is our brother, Dr. Ridgely. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. I see you floundering about there, waiting on people to call in. Now, I was not able to go to the one in Atlanta because I had to go all the way to Greensboro on this past weekend to deliver some staple goods products that we had messed up on in terms of the order to Greensboro. It was so messed up that it was best for me just to carry what was missing and bring back what was extra. So I missed it. However, I was able to go to the one that was in Tampa and in St. Petersburg. And plus I saw some of the other ones. Now, what is very interesting to me is that everybody, most of the people who come, they realize that under segregation, we at least did have a demonstration of some sort of self-reliance and unity. In the 50s and the 60s, if we had followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his call for separation, we could have united those segregated communities into a separate set of communities underneath one umbrella. In other words, we could have turned our segregated communities into the Chinatowns, like Chinese people have done. We could have increased the activity and then start doing trade from the excess of one city to trade with another city and with the people who were still farming in the country, and we really could have put up a nation overnight. And that was a big threat to America, and this is why they offered us instead integration. And when they offered us integration, we thought, many of us thought, oh, wow, okay, now we can participate in the broader community, the broader economic and educational community. We did not know that it was a trap. We did not know that was a game to get us out of what we had and to give up what we had. And then they came through our communities, and this is what everybody talks about who lived through this period, with bulldozers basically and bulldozed down the black business districts all across the country and spread us out.
Wow.
In a manner that we could not do business. I remember in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, my hometown, I remember them coming and putting in these four-lane expressways right through the middle of our community, and they would cut off the main artery. So let's say Northwest Boulevard, that was a pretty strong artery that went across the black community. Well, they cut that off so that now if you had a business on Northwest Boulevard, there was no through traffic. Okay, you were cut off by the highway. So, but in the white communities, when they would go through the white community, they would have bridges going over the thoroughfares, the main roads, and are going underneath them. In other words, they would not cut off, split the community up the way they did in the black community. They just went through and just cut off avenues of trade through the black community and then build roads through for the white community, put either bridges or tunnels. And then they set up these expressways to make it easy for the black people to get up on the expressway and to drive to the shopping malls. So now, with integration, with segregation, you know, white folks didn't want us coming spending our money with them, so we set up our own businesses. Well, they decided to open it up for us to come and spend our money, to knock down our businesses, and then we drove on the expressway, the pretty fancy expressways, swiftly into the now, it wasn't really integrated, you know, in the sense that there were no black businesses in the malls. But we can come and spend our money with white folks in the mall, but it wasn't integrated into the sense that we had businesses in the mall, but we were able to go and spend our money at the mall. And so through that process, they just sucked up the blood of the black community. So when we were in segregated communities, we could have turned those into separate states as such and then began to do trade and commerce amongst one another. But unbeknownst to us, the enemy was looking at those maps and planning all the time how to strategically destroy our ability to trade and do commerce with one another. So now here we are. Many of us got degrees, like me, I got a PhD. A lot of us got jobs in corporate America. And then Donald Elijah Muhammad warned us in the 60s and the early 70s that America was going to fall. Well, nobody believed that. And now look at America falling, and now with the manufacturing jobs are gone, and now the service jobs are gone, and now many of the government jobs are gone. And so now many of us don't know what to do with ourselves because we got these degrees but no place to utilize them. And so we're just floundering along, and we still have a few Negroes who got a few crumbs in Master's house telling everybody else, well, integration wasn't that bad. We just got to keep hope alive. Yeah, okay, because you got a few dollars. You keep hope alive, but we didn't realize we done been had. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled. And now we got to make a move. So we in the Time to Leave movement have decided to go ahead on and make a move for the better. Other folks can still wait.
That's right.
On a mystery guard, wait on whatever. I just saw something just tonight on the news. They're increasing the debt level. It's more red ink. Now, they're talking about that it's going to be by 2050 or something like that. It's going to be $50 trillion in debt. Look, they are setting this country up so that when we are the majority, we will have to pay somebody that damn money. We're going to be like Haiti. We're going to be like the Francophone African countries who were once colonized by France. We're going to be owing somebody a lot of money and therefore not going to have any money to fix our own infrastructure, education, military, or agriculture. We're going to be a third world country. Actually, we're already that because we're tremendously in debt and things are falling apart. But they're spending more money and they're cutting taxes on the rich and spending more money. They're sinking this ship while we're in it. So we're saying jump off the ship, separate to a territory of our own, and let us develop our own civilization, our own economy. But it's hard once you have gotten used to some comfort to forsake comfort and become a pioneer, enterprising person again, relying on self instead of relying on others. That's hard once you have, once you're laid up in your parents' house for so long, and they taking care of everything.
That's right.
That's a scary thing to come out. So this is why people are afraid to come out. They're afraid because of the comfort level they're in. They don't know what's in the future. If they leave on their own, what they're going to do. But, that's too bad. Maybe we just have to wait until you die and your children decide they're going to have to do something for themselves because you didn't leave nothing for them to do. So, now, hopefully now some people who were at the latest town hall in Atlanta or at the one in Philly or Detroit or any other town halls that you were participating in, maybe you want to call in and talk about what you learned from the town hall. But what I learned is that everybody who comes to the town hall from that area got the same story about how in segregation we used to have a few things, and now under integration – we ain't got nothing but false hopes, false dreams, and a living nightmare.
Yes, sir. While you were speaking, Dr. Richards, we were joined by Sister Ann. I'm going to open Sister Ann's mic. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. I'm just listening, and I will chime in when I have something of importance to say.
Oh, you taking the Dr. Ridgely position, huh? So you see that position is not reserved for you, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, she always has something to say to me. I don't see why she ain't got something to say to y'all. But anyway, I thought Sister Nyambe was supposed to come on tonight.
She is not on yet.
Oh. All right, well, somebody need to call her up. Because she was there in Atlanta, and she said that she was going to actually get some more people who were there to come on tonight. So, instead of Brother, could you have Sister...
I'm going to send her a text.
Yeah, send her a text and have Sister Majita call up, see what's going on. Because that ain't fair to leave you out there in the lurch like that.
I'm not in the lurch. I'm having a good time.
No, no. You know, you're having a good time, but still, though, you know, I don't play that. We have to see, this is one of the things that we have to learn how to do is, you know, word is bond. And if you can't make it, you should let somebody know. Because if we are going to develop a community, either here at the farm or wherever you want to get together as a community, you have to be able to depend on people. You know, one thing that me and Sister Ann have found out since you and Sister Majita have been here is that you all are very dependable. Okay? You all are very dependable, very helpful. And, you know, that gives comfort. But when you don't know, it's like I don't right now. I have to wait and see who's going to be at work before I can decide on what I'm going to do because, you know, I never know who's going to be at work. That's not good. But with you and Sister Majita, I can always depend on y'all. And we have to learn how to depend on one another because in this, when you are on your own, you're going to be on your own. And with our inability to depend on one another, to trust on one another's word, this causes perturbations and people, they're afraid to make moves because they, you know, they can't, we really can't depend on one another. If we had to depend on one another, if we had to, then we would. But the enemy has made it so that we are dependent on him for food, clothing, and shelter, and a job, and we don't depend on each other for that. So therefore, we really don't have a real gut reason to depend on each other or love each other because we really don't think we need each other. And this is why we treat each other the way we do. But I tried to treat my people, especially those in the nation, better because I am dependent on you to do something that's going to benefit all of us. And I don't want to depend on the white man no more. So I got to treat you right so that you would also treat me right. So with that, did we drum up somebody?
Not yet. We got a lot of listeners, but brothers and sisters, if you have a comment on what Dr. Ridley has said or if you have a question about any of the things he may have been speaking, just go ahead and press the 1. This is your big opportunity. No one's in the queue, and since you press the 1, you'll be put on the air. So press the 1 of your dial.
Okay, Sister Ann, it's on you.
Okay.
Also, Sister Majita.
Well, while we are waiting, I would just like to say I try to put myself in the mindset of someone who is trying to make a decision to make the move. And I think what people go through, you know, if I were a single, let's say if I was a single individual living by myself, the move would be a lot easier to make. But this is why we say, and this is why we are training to be God, to make those tough decisions. Now, we have to come to the realization that, you know, where we are living now and the way we are living is not what Master Farid Muhammad wants for us. It's not what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted for us. It's not what Minister Farrakhan wants for us. So we have to begin to make a decision. I wonder sometimes if I had not married Dr. Ridgely and moved to the farm, would I have made the move? I'd like to think that I would have, But, you know, it's a hard decision to make. But, you know, when you think about all of the ramifications that's going with it today, when we think about, you know, your lifestyle is in jeopardy, your life is in jeopardy. Dr. Risley mentioned he was listening to the news. I was listening to the news earlier. And I heard that there were two black women who were killed in Chicago this weekend. Both of them were mothers. Yeah, both of them were mothers who were with this organization, Mothers Against Violence. And, you know, they were just killed. There was a shot. So our safety is at risk, and we can't say that we love our job. I don't know anybody who can say who are working for someone else, who can say that they love their job. So we have some tough decisions to make. And it's going to require us to sit down, put pen to paper, and start making some plans. You know, what do I want? What do I want my children to be? As a matter of fact, I heard on the news, on TV, that there's an organization now that, what do they call it? It's homeschooling, but they say it's public school. They're giving children, yes, they're giving children the opportunity to do homeschooling at home and still get the benefit of going to a public school. I believe that all of that is because of vaccination, the shot, mandatory things that they're requiring students to do. So society itself is moving in the realm of us being able to separate. You know, we keep holding on and holding on and hoping for a better day. But there doesn't seem to be a better day with the present situation that we find ourselves in. So we must begin to make some different decisions about our life. You know, if you are afraid to move because you're not going to have anybody to take care of your children, you know, just think. In a society that we control, I think about this often. If you have enough people, you don't have to worry about somebody taking care of your children. They're going to be people who can stay at home, who can do that. Other people have to work. So we have to begin to think practically and begin to think more realistic about making a move, because it's not going to happen by itself. We have to put pen to paper, put it in writing, and just begin to strategize.
You know, I really, you know, like what Sister Ann was saying. I mean, right from the very top, she started off with, you know, this is not what Master Farah Muhammad and Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan want for us, to stay in these bad conditions where you can get shot down on the corner or your children be stuck up with a needle. And then they say it's something like 72 shots. Come on now. I mean, as much as they tell you on the news, when they advertising these medicines, you know, from the killer, how they cross up with something else and they stick all this stuff in your children's arms. Come on now. So they're taking away the control of your child and you're going to stick them up with something you don't know about, and yet you feeling safe. You know, it's a shame that people are so cowardly. All right? We were better off when we came up out of slavery. Slavery did not break us. We bought 16 million acres of land in the 45-year period. We set up over 60 towns. The public school system was set up by us. There was no public school system before we set it up in the South. So
wow.
We came up out of slavery, but we came up as a people seeking freedom. Now we are a people seeking comfort and can't find it. Can't find comfort, can't find safety, but still trying to find it instead of breaking loose and fighting for freedom. You know, and the 60s was a turning point. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is telling us now, yep, in the 60s we wanted, nation time. He said, but you don't want that now. You know, it's we have been dumbed down and nullified to the point that we just are receivers of whatever the society puts out, and we are not thinking in terms of being producers of society, just consumers of whatever somebody else puts out. So we are looking for some God, some pioneers, some people who want to make something happen instead of just complaining about something that ain't working right. So I love the way Sister Ann put it. She just brought it right straight down the pipe. This is not what Master Farah Muhammad came over here for. He did not come over here for us to live in gated communities with white folks and to work for them. He wanted us to work for ourselves, to build our own community, to turn into our own world. But now we are satisfied with getting six figures, you know, $100,000, $120,000 a year, you know, in a vacation in Yoruba. You know, we have bought into this world, even with an X or a Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
We are bought into this world, and the enemy knows that we are bought, and we are trying to act like, you know, we ain't bought when we are. It's making a break is tough, but staying in this to me is tougher, because then I had to sleep with myself every night knowing that really I have sold out the future for a few crumbs right now.
And something else to think about, the minister mentioned that he mentioned voting when he spoke last. He said, in essence, why not use what's already here? And just think, if we were living in close enough proximity, there is nothing that says we could not control the politics. We could control it.
Right.
For instance.
That's right. That's right.
Here in Terrell County, we could control the county commission. We could have people, a mayor. As a matter of fact, we have a mayor in Dawson now. That she, I went to meet with her earlier in the year, and she said she just decided one day, it's just not going the way it should go. Things should be better. So she threw her hat in the ring, and she won.
That's right.
So we have the people already, but if we had the right mindset to get in these offices, we could begin to turn some things around. I just look at the four women that, you know, are Trump came out against, the four politicians up in D.C.
Well, right.
If we had politicians like that all over the country banding together, then, you know, we could control some things. We could make some things happen. But as it stands now, we've got one here, one there. You know, Muslims don't even think about running because we know the general public don't know us that well. But we need to come together and pool our resources and make some things happen.
Well, you know, if we would emerge ourselves in the nine ministries, where you are now, emerge yourself in the nine ministries, and then if your area is education, well, you need to go down to the education. They have a meeting every month.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You need to go there and see what's going on and get yourself involved. So on every front, one of those ministries can be involved with what's going on and begin to change some things. And then right here in Terrell County, we have fought and fought and fought. But guess what? They're now going to get some equipment to do a better job with these roads. We fought them for years. But when we learn how to use this iPhone and put their behinds on blast across the world, we were able to get them to make a move. So there's many Muslims who've already, I call them on sabbatical. They already left the big cities and came back down south and hiding out. I see them right now when I'm selling papers. They give you $5 for a paper. You get a greetings. But now it's time for them to come out of the woodworks and become the leaders that they should be. Now, one of the important things in taking over your community is making something happen. You got to have a set of morals. Okay, you gotta abide by the restrictive law. Cause I was just talking with the former mayor and Dawson today, and he was saying that if you want to find out what dirt's going on, just go down to a beauty shop, you know, about two times. Somebody go tell it. It spreads. So, you know, a lot of reasons why people don't run for office is that they got too much dirt in their closet. So clean out your closet. Mm. This is one of the games of the enemy, is to get you entrapped in some foolishness, and so that now you're afraid to run for office, or if you get in office, they pull up this picture, and now they compromise you. So we say that the restrictive law is our success. Well, now that we're talking about rulership, it becomes more important, because that's how Satan rules. He rules you through your weaknesses. And many of us have fallen victim to weak things and now are afraid to speak out. So clean up your act, all right, so you can become powerful again.
Yes,
sir.
I thought I'd leave it like that, because I knew that's going to shock some people.
So, brothers and sisters, please press the 1 on your phone pad. If you have a question or a comment, if you'd like to participate in the conversation, the discussion, please press 1 and you will be entered into the show.
And you know, you mentioned, Dr. Grizzly, cleaning up your act. This is not to say that, you know, you have not done something in your past that you can't get over. We have to begin to think more realistically and get over the fear that somebody's going to spill the beans on what I've done. I can't do this, or I can't run for office. because I've done X, Y, Z. Well, get over it. Get over it. And do like O.J. did. Or what was his lawyer's name? Johnny Cochran. You know, you tell it before they tell it.
That's right. You know? That's right. You tell
it first.
Yep.
And that takes the steam out of them telling.
That's right. That's right. So, in other words, you ain't got to be perfect, but don't allow your imperfections for them to use it against you. If you know you got something, then go ahead and say, listen, I did this. I paid the consequences for it. As a matter of fact, I didn't pay the consequences. I'm going to pay it right now. What was that, $50? I'm going to pay that right now. And that's it. Okay, that's over with. Now, next, that's how you have to do that. And I like, you know, I used to, the way I deal with people is like this as well. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I did that. I'm sorry. What can I do now? What can I do now to fix it? I can't go back and fix it back then. I made that mistake. But what can I do now? And then if it's something I can do now, I do it. If it's nothing I can do now, then it's over. So let's move forward. Because the whole thing is you got to move forward. You can't let the past hold you back. Okay, you can learn from the past, but you can't allow the past to hold you back. You have to move forward. So this is the one beautiful thing about when we join the nation. We say all the sins are forgiven. Allah forgives all of that you did in the white man's name, in his world. Now you come in rejecting his name and rejecting his world and rejecting the deeds that you committed in his world. Now you start over from scratch. So that's the beauty of coming in the nation of Islam, is that our God cleans your slate, and you must keep your slate clean after that.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So, Brother Carlton, we ain't got nobody on. I ain't heard no Sister Majida then.
She's not able to get on.
Oh, okay. I guess somebody got to work. Well, I just want to say this one little part. This is just something happened today. You know, we got me and Sister Ann. We got our vehicles that we're trying to get fixed. Well, this black guy who has a little shop and who I take my vehicle to get fixed. I mean, this brother is incredible. I mean, incredible of how fast he can diagnose a problem and fix it. I just sit in awe. I was waiting for my wife to pick me up. I'm leaving a vehicle for him to check. He was fixing a person's vehicle, and I'm on my iPhone, doing my Facebook thing.
I'm sorry, Dr. Ridgely.
Oh, somebody sick kid? Yeah.
Yes, Sister. Looks like Sister Nyambe is on.
Oh, okay. I just want to say this one more thing.
Welcome, Sister Nyambe.
Oh, well, alaikum salam. Go ahead, Dr. Ridgely.
Yeah. Anyway, I just turned around for a minute. He had finished that car and was working on and solving another car that had pulled up just that quick. I mean, so I'm saying is that I believe that if we separate, I believe that we can find whatever we need amongst ourselves so that we can continue and to grow. I just got that confidence because I've just seen it too many times. We have the skills. We got some people who got some serious skills, and now we need to put it to work. So go ahead, Sister Nyambe.
So I apologize. You know, with me just settling into Georgia, my days are extremely busy, and I'm trying to handle business. So I almost had a panic attack. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to call into the show. So I think a lot that I remembered before the show was over. But I in the keeping with the subject of separation, yesterday I had to, well, not yesterday, yesterday was Wednesday, Tuesday, actually, I had to travel to St. Louis, back to St. Louis, and to handle some business, to take care of some business. And I was in one of the very wealthy neighborhoods. Now, I lived in St. Louis for 40 years. And I've never been through this particular neighborhood. And as I'm driving through there, I'm looking up and saying, these people have private roads that we don't even know about. And I literally thought to myself, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting on for communities? A safe, decent place to live. I mean, I had never seen anything like that before in my life. I mean, big, beautiful homes, private roads through their community. So I'm thinking to myself, we can have this. We can have this. So it absolutely is time for us to make a move. So I'm not sure. I just came in on Dr. Ridgely and him talking about repairing our vehicles and the exorbitant cost involved in having our vehicles repaired.
Yeah, and the thing is, this guy is not exorbitant, though, okay? And he does a real good job at a real decent price, but, you know, the Toyota place will take you behind. And you know, he's able to get around some of their blocks. So they try to make it so nobody else can fix their stuff. So I'm just saying that, and it's going to get worse. The newer cars are going to get worse and worse and worse, where you can't do anything to them. You got to go in there and let them bleed you to death. We need to separate before it's too late and begin to develop our own technologies. We got people working for all these companies. We should be able to come up with a new car. Okay? But you gotta have some guts. But we're being gutted. You know, I look at the news and I hear these reports. I'm saying, come on, how can we live in this chaos and this fear of death? Outright violent death, and then death by food and death by medicine. To fight the death by food. Come on, y'all. It's just death. We can do better than this. And so, Ms. Niambe, what did you get from Saturday at the town hall meeting?
At the town hall meeting on Saturday, I got, you know, Sister Ava is such a blessing to the Nation of Islam. I mean, we really take her for granted. She's an extraordinary blessing. And on Saturday, I mean, she just made it more clearer than ever that it is the necessity in us separating. Dr. Ridgely, when you mentioned, I kind of lost my train of thought, but you just said, it's just time for us, I think you were just saying it's time for us to make a move. And, oh, no, you said that you have the confidence that we can do this thing. And you couldn't be more accurate. We have, so for some reason, I think we think that we don't have people that are capable of building and sustaining a community of our own. But this is what we're doing for our enemies, as it is. We condemn all of our talent. We are literally God's people. The black man and woman are literally God's gifts to the world. So we work in every area imaginable, but we're giving away our talents to someone else. Today, a sister was attempting to get a passport because they're giving us trouble about switching over our licenses because our names are Muhammad. And if there is any discrepancy in any of your documentation, you're not going to be able to. You're going to have difficulty in getting a new driver's license or what have you. So she finally had to resort to getting a passport. And you know that know, it takes time to get a passport, right? So in talking with the brother who was assisting us getting her passport, he said that Muhammad's coming in all the time because they cannot get a job. So they're changing, shifting back their Muhammad, and they're taking on the devil again because they can't get a job. And they're saying things like, that was my parents. I never converted. So that wasn't my way of life. I hear a lot of noise. Hello?
Wow. Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Oh,
wow.
I thought that, let's see, it's one of our lines.
Were you hearing that? Were you hearing that?
How's it now?
Yes, we heard it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I could still be heard. But I was just saying
We hear you well. We hear you well.
Okay, very good. But I was just, you know, just in shock. Because I had never heard these things before, but that people are actually giving back their Muhammad and taking on the devil's name. So we see that from these examples that I just shared, that we do not believe in the promise of Master Farah Muhammad. And no matter what excuse that we give, because, I mean, we're at the time. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do for self before you're forced. Do we not see that we're already at that point? It's not coming. We're there. So on Saturday, Sister Ava just made that ever clear. You know, she talked about how, you know, some of our people are concerned over, you know, if we separate, they're going to start killing us. But they're already killing us. I mean, Stevie Wonder can see that. So, as I said, overall, what I got from Saturday is that the time for separation is now. It's not somewhere in the future. It's now.
Well, Sister Nambi, that was a shock that the Minister Farrakhan gave us all Muhammad, and instead of us working together as Muhammad so we can build our own, now we are upset that we can't get a job with the enemy, and now we are giving up our Muhammad to have a slave name so we can get a job with the slave master.
Yes, sir.
That's quite shocking. And this is why those of us who can see need to go ahead on and make a move, because the people who are around us aren't believers as we believe, so why stay there? So
yes,
we're going to have to pull out and get together with those who are and go ahead on and get something done, because it's evident that a lot of those who say they're not down with this to the point where they want to make any type of sacrifice. They want to be able to come and put on the garments and look good at a big event, but then go back in the slave master world so they can get a few dollars more. That's a shame.
Yes, sir.
And so we need to continue to seek out those who are serious and want to do something. So we have something for for our children and grandchildren, because everybody not down with this.
Yes,
we need to find the ones who are, and then let's get down.
Dr. Ridley, I believe that we have found one another, because we're attracting one another quickly. The problem is we're not coming together. The like minds are attracting one another, and often and frequently. We're just not coming together physically.
It's difficult. It's difficult to get together, because usually people move. That's why we do the mathematics of movement. Usually people are moved or pushed by a couple of things. Divorce pushes. A job opportunity or education pulls.
So since we can't tell you to come down here to Muhammad Farms that we can provide for you a new husband and a new wife and a job and a degree, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now you stuck with how am I going to make something out of nothing? How am I going to make my life over? So it is difficult. But the first step is to find those who have like minds and then to continue to communicate. And whenever we do have meetings, we do have opportunities to meet one another. I call it, you know, face-to-face. So we meet a lot of people in cyberspace, but then we got to meet face-to-face. And in time, we begin to work our way loose from the trappings of family and property, et cetera, and jobs, and begin to break away and make some things happen.
Yes, sir. If I may offer, I prefer the word challenging over difficulty, because I think that difficulty scares us sometimes. You know, we as you just mentioned, there are things that push and pull, and I think we shy away or push difficulty away, but I think if we say challenging, you know, that's a little softer, so we're more willing to accept a challenge, maybe more so than we are difficulty. But this is the other thing, too. You know, I've mentioned previously about creating a viable economy around Muhammad Farm. Okay? We all must eat. No matter if we eat one meal a day, if we eat every other day, if we eat every 72 hours, we have to have food, right? So I think in coming up with ideas, and this is what must happen, we must come up with ideas that we can use in order to build an economy, a viable economy around Muhammad Farm, and that will bring us closer to the farm. So we'll talk, inshallah, we'll talk more about that soon, because I do have some ideas that I would like to share with yourself and Mr. Ann, Majida, and Brother Paul. So inshallah, we'll get a chance to talk about that soon.
Praise be to Allah. My sister Niambe, thank you very much for coming on in and giving us the highlights. We're down to the last 2 minutes. If you all want to make closing statements, now's the time to make them.
Well, I don't. Go ahead, Dr. Rizzi.
No, you go ahead, Suzanne.
Well, I was only going to talk because no one else was talking.
Okay. Well, I think that Sister Niambe is right. We got to come up with ideas. And you know me, ideas don't mean nothing without a person. So first we got to have some people to come down here and to put up some ideas and to make some things happen. We are working on some things right now. We can't tell you all about what's getting ready to happen, but we are finding some people who are working their way down here and who are going to bring something with them. So it's a process, but it's got to start somewhere. And, yes, the only things that work are people working an idea. Ideas do not work themselves out. Somebody's got to work out those ideas. And then we build from there. All we need is a few good people and a few good ideas, and we get started and build from there.
Right.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Ridley, Sister Niambe, and Sister Ann. And thank listeners. Thank you all for tuning in this week, and we look forward to having you next week on the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum
salam.
Alaykum salam.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed. Uh-huh. Down and out, losing ground. Yeah. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Mm. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go. To let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma's passed, my brother's gone. I never decision, it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Fast eyes burst into Richmond, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason, it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which I.